Now I got to follow that. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. He's special. He loves us. And I'm glad He gave us mothers. Amen? I'm going to try to look at there. That's my baby picture. But back when I was going, when I had my baby picture taken, it was black and white. Amen. Matter of fact, I think the guy sketched it with a pencil. I'm not sure. Get your Bibles. We're going to try to get through this today. If we don't, it'll be fine. 1 Kings 3. If you don't know where 1 Kings is, it's right before 2 Kings. 1 Kings 3, starting with verse 16. Stand for the reading of the word. Then came there two women, they were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it, or she laid on her child and smothered it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while the handmaiden slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, this, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith that this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other say, No, that my son, that thy son is dead, and my son liveth. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. This is powerful. This spake the woman whose living child was unto, or this spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, with her bowels yearned for her son, and said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor hers, but divide it. And the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Stretch forward your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch. Father, we love you and we praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, God, and we know there's nothing impossible for you. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint each and every person here today, or anoint our hearts, our ears so we can hear, our hearts so we can receive, our minds so we can understand. I ask you right now, God, to minister to each and every person here in a very, very powerful way, that nothing be said through strife or vainglory. And we thank you for all that you do for us all the time. In the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said, Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, Happy Mother's Day! That's right. Good, good, good. So will the real mother please stand up? Now, we're going to have some fun to start with. Y'all ready to have some fun? I mean, just good old fun. We're going to have some right now before we get serious. And, you know, I thought about it, and sometimes Mother's Day is, If you're not careful, when the mother comes, she feels like she's beat up and drug up. And by the time she's out, the ushers have drug her outside, and she feels like, wow, why am I even a mother? So today we're going to have some fun, and then we're going to talk about this scripture. Facts on real mothers. Real mothers know right where the kitchen utensils are, out in the sandbox. Real mothers don't eat quiche. They don't have time to make it. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Maybe I thought we were having fun. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that was having fun reading it. All right. Real mothers sometimes have sticky floors, filthy ovens, but they have happy kids. Amen? If y'all want to get happy or smile or do something besides look at me like a mule looking at a new gate, it's okay. You won't scare me, I promise. Okay, let's see here. Real mothers know and accept that dried Play-Doh doesn't come out of shag carpets. Matter of fact, DC taught me something early on, and that is, I learned that the spin cycle of the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy, but it does make cats dizzy. And I also learned that cats throw up twice their body weight when they're dizzy. Y'all are a tough crowd today. All right. Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. We're getting there. It's starting to ramp up just a little bit. All right. Real mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. It is marked by the progression from mama to mommy to mom. That is so sweet. My favorite, and I use it 1,000 times when my kids and they were coming up, when they got married and had their own babies, when I had grandbabies, they go, Dad, did you have to do all this with us? Is this really, do we have to keep, look at this thing, it stinks. I mean, I need to wear a hazard material suit when I pick this thing up. I just looked at him and smiled. And I said, I want you to take that word diaper, and I want you to spell it backwards. Ready? There you go. About 14 swings and a miss, and here I finally got a home run. Ready? All right, guys, I'm going to do something that y'all really need to understand. I'm going to do some psychology counseling right now. So I want y'all to really watch this good, because you need to know this for today when you get home. Matter of fact, you might need to know it right now. So just in case you didn't know these, I'm going to help you out. Ready? Ready? Let's go. The top 7 words women use. This is universal. Ready? Number 7, fine. Nobody's ever heard that, have you? Fine. I'm going to show you what fine means. Ready? It means this is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and you just need to shut up. Fine. Number 6, 5 minutes. My wife always says, are we talking about really 5 minutes or basketball minutes? Well, 5 minutes, if she's getting dressed, actually 5 minutes is a half hour. Look, it's only 5 minutes. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you've been given 5 minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, one. All right. Here's one of my favorites. Ready? Nothing. Anybody heard that? Somebody, I can tell people have heard that before. Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. I'm explaining this to y'all guys so you'll understand. When they say nothing, this is the calm before the storm. Look, this means something, not nothing, something. This means something, and you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with fine, nothing, usually end up in fine. Number four. Some of y'all have heard that lately, haven't you? Get ready. Although this is not actually a word, the loud sigh is often misunderstood by men. Y'all ready? Here it goes. A loud sigh means she thinks you are an idiot. And wonder why she's wasting her time standing here arguing with you over nothing. Number three, get ready. Go ahead. Guys, you got to understand something. This is not a dare. This is a dare, not permission. This is a dare, not permission. Go ahead. Don't do it. Number two. Number two. That's okay. That's okay. This is one of the most dangerous statements that a woman can make to a man. That's okay. That's okay means that she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when to pay you for your mistakes. Y'all ready for number one? Number one. That's in the addenda. I got a whole new section, but I got to do this part two. All right. My wife would love to hear. Where you want to eat at? She goes, why don't you decide? Okay. Here it is. It's not like, thank you, dear. That's not what this is. This is thanks. You got to put the emphasis with it. This isn't thank you, dear. I love you so much. This is thanks. This is the least used of all the words in the female vocabulary. If the woman is thanking you, do not question it. Say you're welcome. And then slowly back out of the room. Okay. Y'all guys know, y'all ladies know I've been joking. And Father's Day is coming. I'm going to give fathers the same time, okay? Guys are going to get it too. Fellas know we're going to get it too. Okay, that's what I'll do. Frankie, you were the official reader of that one. So Father's Day, Frankie's going to come up here and read the father's statements. All right, thank you for volunteering, Frankie. All right. Go back through history. And history shows one thing that all leaders had in common. They all had mothers. So I went back and researched some of them to see what their mothers may have given them some wonderful wisdom over the years. You know, George Washington said he would be nothing without his mother. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest gift he ever got from God was his mother. So not just them talking about their mothers, this is their mothers talking to them. Okay? So the first one's Paul Revere's mother. Y'all remember Paul Revere? One if I land, two if I see. You know, okay. I don't care where you think you have to go, young man. Midnight is past your curfew. Okay, I'm going back down again. I see the dive coming. Should have stopped while I was behind. Ready? Mona Lisa's mother. After all that money your father and I spent on braces, Mona, and this is the biggest smile you can give us? Digging it deeper. I'm going down fast. I see the flames. I feel the heat. Okay, this will be better. Humpty Dumpty's mother. I think it was Mother Goose, but Humpty Dumpty's mother. Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But would you listen to me? Ready? No. Okay. Y'all got to wake back up again. I know I got to get better, huh? I got it. Tough crowd and tough material. Ready? Columbus's mother. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher. You still should have written. I'm glad I've only got a couple more left. It's got to get better. Can't get any more. I got 4 more. Ready? Michelangelo's mother. Mike, can't you paint on walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling? Okay. Abraham Lincoln. Now, we talked about he said everything he's got he owes to his mama. So now we're going to talk about his mama to him. Ready? Again with the stovepipe hat. Abe, can't you wear just a baseball cap like the other kids? Two more. I promise. And then we're going to get serious. All right, ready? Batman's mama. Batman. We were watching DC's graduation yesterday, and like I said, Daniel and Emery had just graduated, and I wrote down something like, and Daniel's getting ready to go back to college, and DC's going back to University of Texas next week for his master's, and they're talking about all this stuff back and forth. I said, what do you plan to be in the end? And Daniel said, I want to be Batman. All right. Ready? It's a nice car, Bruce, but do you realize how much the insurance is going to be on that thing? I can't wait till you're up here doing this, Frankie. I bet y'all laugh for her. All right. Y'all ready? Goldilocks' mother. I got a bill here for a busted chair from the Bear family. Do you know anything about this, Goldie? All right. Now we're going to get serious. Really, now we're going to get serious. Aren't y'all glad? Aren't y'all glad we can have fun on Mother's Day? Yes, instead of being beat all up. You know, I even read some stuff, and some people are so harsh, and it just makes me irritated to see what some of the people think about mothers. And so that's why I want to do this today. All right, that's why we started out with something funny to start with. All right, there's 3 types of mothers. How many know that? There are 3. Y'all say it. There are 3 types of mothers. In any society, there are 3 types of mothers. You may be 1, 2, or all 3 of them, okay? But everybody's got at least one of these, if not all 3 of them. Number 1 is a physical mother or the birth mother. Now, the birth mother, they are responsible for bringing a child into this world. But they don't necessarily take any further responsibility into the child's life. It's like with Bethany. That's why I wound up getting Bethany, because her birth mother did not protect her, did not do what she had to do, whatever. You know, so I understand that. So they may or may not be bonding. There was no bonding with Bethany and her mama, none whatsoever, and I understand why. Okay, I mean, the way they potty trained Bethany was they put her in a closet for days with no light, no extra oxygen, in a closet, and slid water and a piece of bread under the door to potty train her. No bonding whatsoever, no care, It's just terrible. And that's when they finally got her out of the house. Somebody told on them and they took her out of the house. So, physical, some have bonding, some don't. But physical means they have given birth to a child. Now, everybody in here has got a child that you've actually given birth to. You're number one, always number one, no matter what. You've always got that in this conglomeration of three mothers. Number two is an emotional mother. Now, a lot of people, although they may be a birth mother or maybe they're not a birth mother, every woman in here, I can tell you, is an emotional mother to somebody. Now, emotional mother, this is different. They're not necessarily responsible for the birth of the child, for bringing the child in this world, but they do take further responsibility into the child's life. They really, really get in there with this child and help lead it and guide it. Even if they're adults and you're an adult, you're there, they go to you, they trust you, you teach them, you guide them. This is a very, very, very powerful mother, an emotional mother. Some of y'all are emotional mothers to a lot of people. And there is going to be, for an emotional mother, there's going to be strong bonding. Birth mother, yes or no, but emotional mothers, there's always strong bonding. And then there's a third type of mother. And the third type of mother is actually a spiritual mother. Now, you got birth mothers, emotional mothers, but God may or may not be in the mix while you're teaching and training this child. But spiritual mothers, God's always in the mix. They're not necessarily responsible for bringing the child into the kingdom, but they do take further responsibility to the child of God's life. So they're talking. How many can think about people in here that although you might have had a wonderful mother, you still had emotional mothers and you still had spiritual mothers, and they really taught you a lot. You learn from them. When they're talking, you're listening because the reason why they're talking and you're listening is because there's going to be a strong bond there, because you connect with them on a different level. There's a physical level, emotional level, and a spiritual level. So again, every woman in here, you're one, two, or all three of these mothers. So don't let anybody tell you, whether you've had children or not, that you're not a mother, because you're part of this three, one, two, or three. So if you never even had children, there's a lot of people that are two and three. They're emotional mothers and they're spiritual mothers. And so that's a great thing. And you might not have ever been married yet and got children, but you're still one of these to somebody. Okay? So three types of mothers. Now, let's look at this scripture that we just read. This scripture that we just read is a very, very powerful scripture. There's two harlots. They're in the same house. It's only them two. There's nobody else in there with them. They're both pregnant. One has a baby. Another one has the baby 3 days later. And when they're laying down at night, one of the harlots, she lays on her baby and she suffocates it. Now, this can be some tough stuff. I got called into the hospital just a few weeks ago when Frankie was having her procedure. I got called in the hospital. A woman and husband, they had lost their two-month-old baby to SIDS. And I saw and felt it, you know, when I was in there. And I can't even imagine what one of these ladies are getting ready to say. But here they are. One of them takes her dead baby and switches it with the other woman's baby, and then thinks that everything's going to be okay. Another woman's going to accept that her baby is dead. Well, I want to tell you, here's their character. They were harlots. Because they were harlots or prostitutes, one word is hostess. That house, guys come in that house all the time, and then they would leave. So they were very well-known people. I just want you to know this. Remember this lesson. Real mothers are not perfect. Think about it. Sometimes you say, there's no way. I try my best, God, and I just can't seem to get it together. And I wish I was as good as that mother I keep seeing over here, because they're perfect. Nope. There's no such thing as a perfect mother. There's no such thing as a perfect father. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. Okay? So here's the two harlots. They have the baby. The baby dies, and one switches the baby, which is her dead baby, with the live baby. So now, when all this is going down, this is a very, very, very sad time. Their complaint, first there was that unexpected birth. These ladies don't need to be having babies because they're busy. It gets in their way of their trade if they have babies. And so they're having these babies. And both of them have them about the same time. So there's an unexpected birth, but also there was an unexpected death because one harlot rolled over on her baby and she suffocated her baby. Now, here's the unexpected reaction. Instead of accepting that her baby was dead, instead of accepting that she had rolled over on this baby, she trades it. Now, the woman, the real mother, her baby's taken from her and replaced with that dead youngin. So let me tell you something else about real mothers. Real mothers have problems. You know, we all like, I'm excited because DC and Daniel both got their degrees this weekend and the granddaughter got degrees this weekend. But you know what? Are they perfect? No. Somebody asked me one day somewhere about DC and the emergency manager. I bet he can do this and that. And I said, I need you to know one thing. They said, what? I said, I raised that boy. And I said, I can promise you that he weren't always like this. And I can promise you if the right buttons are pushed, he ain't like this. Let me tell you something. Real mothers, all mothers, have problems. So then, let me get my Bible out. Verse 20. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me. She's trying to get somebody to help her. And while the handmaid slept and laid in her bosom, laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning, I gave my child to give my child suck. Behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. So she knew this wasn't hers. A real woman knows who their children are. Their children always act like they knew them, but I can promise you the mother knows, a real mama knows her children. Amen? So again, real mothers know their children. Okay? Then there's the pursuit. Verse 22, and the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son, and this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Now, they're going before the king. They're trying to get this thing taken care of. Let me tell you something about a real mother. Lesson number four about a real mother. She's not going to give up on her kids. I've watched some kids go through some horrible things. I've watched adults go through some horrible things. But their mothers never gave up on them. And I thank God for that. That a mother, matter of fact, I've read that the mother is probably the closest thing you'll ever get to true agape love for you is your mother. Okay? So never give up on their children. I'm doing it quickly. But that bird weren't too flying away too fast, but I'm doing it quickly. Okay. So now, they couldn't settle it. They talked to people. They talked to the community. Lower courts couldn't do it, so they took it to the Jerusalem Supreme Court, and that is the king. And what the king says is final. So the king sees it. The king understands what's going on. I love this. He says, okay, bring the child to me and bring me a sword. And I'm going to cut it in half and give half to you and half to the other. He wasn't going to kill that baby. He wasn't going to divide that child. You see, he was seeing actually who had the real heart of a mother. You see, real mothers defend their children, especially when the heat is on. They will go to their death defending their children. So, I'm getting close to the, oh, there it is. So pretty. So wonderful. So blessed. So she submitted to the supreme judge. She was willing to do so to see her child live. So here was the judgment. The judgment was, well, she trusted his wisdom and she trusted his judgment. And so now there it goes. So the king, real mothers look to a higher power to find what is needed. She sacrificed. She sacrificed for her kid. She was willing to give up her kid to make sure that it lived. Real mothers will sacrifice her desires to benefit her child. There's my baby picture. And she was supported. The king saw her sacrifice and he gave the child back to her. You see, real mothers are going to be rewarded one day. Just hold on. I know right now sometimes you feel like your kids are going to drive you crazy. Sometimes you feel like your kids are just going to absolutely just go bonkers and they have lost their ever-loving mind. But I promise you, one day, God's going to reward you for not giving up on your children. Brandon, come on up here and play something. I've been watching, reading, doing a lot of reading about motherhood. And in this last day, mothers really have a hard time. Life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mother. I love that. This crazy world has demeaned motherhood. It has diluted motherhood. Instead of a husband and a wife, some kids have got two fathers. Instead of a husband and a wife, some of them got two mothers. There's a battle going on in this world for women. A lot of women feel forsaken by this crazy society. But you've got to understand something. There's power and there's play and a place for proper motherhood because of God. He elevates mothers. He elevated motherhood by giving his son through Mary. He elevated motherhood. He empowers mothers. He empowered Mary to have Jesus because of the Holy Spirit coming upon her. And he encourages mothers every day. God elevates, empowers, and encourages. Sometimes it's hard to see it. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes we wonder if God's even watching because we see what our kids are doing. But you got to understand, this isn't the end. It's not over with yet. God's got this. Everybody please stand. I want you to remember what I'm getting ready to tell you. Very short statement. Women, being a mother, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, or all three, being a mother is your superpower. It's what God created you for. If you look at the Trinity, the Father represents the husband in the family. He protects and provides, but the Holy Spirit comes along beside and loves and coddles and teaches, and that's the woman's role. Being a mother, physical, mental, or emotional, spiritual, is your superpower. Don't ever let anybody tell you any different. God wants to elevate you, empower you, and encourage you, and to know that He's with you every day. You may not see at the moment, but I promise you, I've seen time and time and time again over the last 40 years of ministry where the mother and father thought the kid was just so far gone. And watch God turn it around. and wound up having a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I don't know if y'all remember Danny Williams. He came here years ago. He's the one that got us, challenged us to go to Pitt Detention Center, because he went. And when I met this man, he walked into church while we were having a singing with the Mills family. He walked into church, and as he walked down to church, he walked right straight to the altar. And when people saw him, they didn't look to him. They turned their back to him. He walks to the altar, and I walked down and said, "Y'all come with me." And everybody just kept their head turned. I said, "This ain't right. This is not how this church does." And I went down and I said, "Can I help you?" And he says, "I just need God to touch me." And I prayed with him, and he got up and he walked out. After the service, somebody came up to me and said, "Do you know who that man was?" I said, "I have no idea. I just know he needed God." And they said, "He's one of the toughest, meanest guys in Williamston." Said the drug dealers are scared of him. The biggest and the baddest won't touch him. And you down there praying for him. I said, "If he comes out, pray for him again." A couple of weeks later, he come in and told me I was going to be his pastor. His mind was blown from drugs. He had heart attacks and open heart surgery because of drugs. His people didn't even trust him. His daddy told me, said, "I'm going to pray for you, son, because that my boy will never amount to anything." Daddy told me that. Said, his mama had a heart attack, and I gave him his mama's pocketbook to call all the other people, and instead of calling other people, he got all her cards and went and cashed them out and had a Coke binge. Said he'll never amount to anything. Well, I kept working with him and working with him and working with him, and it's amazing. God just kept pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. That young man got his mind back. God touched him in a very powerful way. And this young man went back to having the ability to design complex electronic equipment for his daddy, who had an alarm system business. And I remember before his daddy died and before his mama died, they would give him blank checks for him to go get his teeth worked on, or give him blank checks for whatever. They trust him that much. And they both got a chance to see their son, who they thought was going to never amount to anything. They watched their son give his heart to God, and God changed him. And at the end, they had a loving relationship with their son, who had been totally devoured and divided from them. And if God can do it for Danny and his family, he can do it for you. Trust God, and remember, God's got you. He's going to elevate, empower, and encourage your superpower. In the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, the first challenge is, do you know that you're standing where you need to stand with God? Are you in good standing with God? Do you have everything together? Like you are at least trying to have it together, because I know we all got more we can do, but are you trying to have it together with God, or do you find yourself falling short and you really, really, really need God to do something special for you? Well, nobody's looking, every eye's closed, every head's bowed, but you put that hand up and say, "Pray for me. I need God to do something special for me today. Thank you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you." Are you here today and you just need a touch? I don't know about you, but, you know, my mama died in 97, but every Mother's Day, I still feel a pain in my heart. I feel it all the time, but especially on Mother's Day, I feel a pain in my heart for my mother. You may be here today and your mother's gone. You got that pain in your heart because you really would love to put your arm around him one more time, kiss him on the cheek. That pain is real, but the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, has a comfort that's greater than that pain. If you're here today and you just need to feel that good old hug from the Holy Spirit right now, to help you with that pain in that heart while nobody's looking around, every eye closed, every head's bowed. Would you just put that hand up? I need to feel that hug. Holy Spirit, I need to feel that hug. If my mom ain't here to do it, you need to help me. Help me feel that love that only mama could give me. And right now, if you need anything from God, anything, not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you, just stick that hand up. I just need something. I just need something. I just need it because we're going to pray. I just need something. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we are not alone. And I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit has a comfort that's greater than any pain we may be feeling. I ask you right now to bring comfort and relief and help us to know that you have not forsaken us and our family. Instead of it falling apart, we have to trust you that it's falling together. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it all, and we know you got it. Help us all in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God is so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,